What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 251 of the Cheesy Controller Podcast. I'm your host, Anton LaPlatte. Joining me, as always, we have the Mecca Stardew Valley, Chris Montalbano.
If you want some good, wholesome fun, just try Hi-Fi Rush.
We got formerly known as the Ray Trace Durak, now known as the star of his very own video game, Madrid Devon.
What a lovely day.
And we got the most degenerate squid in the sea, Jalen Roberts.
You just had to go and piss in my mouth.
We got a jam-packed episode for you guys this week. We're going to be talking about the PS5 Slim, Microsoft owning Activision Blizzard, the Spider-Man preload, Chris beating Hi-Fi Rush, and $70 video games.
So, oh, I got a game.
The biggest.
I mean, your dilemma is peak fiction, my dog.
Episode's so nice you listen to it twice.
Listen to it on your podcast service of choice, then do what I do sometimes and turn it on your Alexa and just leave.
Yo, my Puchita almost got numbers.
Get them numbers up any way you can.
You don't eat Puchita.
I left it on top of my Chainsaw Man manga on my shelf because that made sense to me. Mm. And then I look over, I see like one volume of manga sitting on the floor. I was like, how did it fall? And I pick it up and Poochie's gone. And I go to Sombra's room. She's in her bed just like licking him, about to give it to him. And by give it to him, I mean rip his chainsaw.
Don't trust your dogs with your plushes.
Yeah, but you can't have
plushes low down. Nope. Nope. Yeah, my dog will eat them fast.
Yeah, and also on top of my PS5, because that's like chained off, you know, it's like a walled garden.
Yeah, if anything that's on my desk, I know is safe. Because they know they would...
No, I just don't trust her in my room alone anymore. Ah.
Yeah.
No, they're
fine. That's fair.
Well, Venus is severely limited by stairs, so she can go down, but not up. And so, but Nia can go wherever, and we'll even just leave the doors open, because as long as we haven't put something low down and been like, oh, they won't get it, like, they don't fuck up shoes, like, anything that belongs on the floor, they typically don't mess up. Sometimes Nia will mess up some trash, but that's just when she's...
feeling rebellious. So what's next? You're going to come home and you're going to find her listening to The Cure?
If I could teach them those button things, I definitely love to.
Food. Outside. 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 Food. Attention.
The souls of children.
That's all that is. You raising Peppermint Butler over there?
You know, just look. Fiona, some people have cats for familiars. I have a dog. Like, you know, but you got to make sure the dog's evil. Got to feed it a couple of souls.
This is my evil dog.
It's a cute dog.
All dogs are cute.
Not all dogs.
Yeah, especially cows.
Oh, no, cows are the cutest pups. What the fuck are you talking about? Especially the Highland kind. The one with, like, a full, like, eye-blinding head of fur. No, those are adorable.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Oh, those are mad cute.
Long fur.
It's like, I want to give them a hug, but I know they're stink. So, you know, I just appreciate them from
those
afar.
Are some fucking disgusting creatures.
You
can't have that much hair and be unable to wash it correctly.
Isn't that most of the animal kingdom?
Yeah.
Think about how many like long fur animals there are that are just wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know it's most crazy in there.
Oh. I mean, they're colder climates, yeah. Because them yaks are long as fuck. Them yak hairs are, like, long as fuck.
And all they, like, snow doesn't smell, like...
Yeah, I guess snow doesn't produce or spread the smell as much.
Yeah, cold air will tamp that smell down, but as far as just, like, methods of cleaning, snow is a horrible, like, naturally occurring snow, horrible. I mean, I guess artificially occurring snow would be pretty bad, too.
Oh, that shit people were lighting on fire in Atlanta? I remember that. I did it. The shit, it burned. It burned. I was just like, all right. I'm sure there's scientific explanations for it, but I don't care.
Did it ever snow in Savannah?
Yeah, but it never sticked. Like, it would just come down. I remember one time while I was in elementary school, there were, like, snow flurries, and they kind of let us go play in it.
Well, the thing about snow is you have to maintain a perfect Goldilocks zone of 33 to 35 degrees. Any hotter, it melts. Any colder, it freezes. Hence the reason why Atlanta gets ice instead of snow most of the time.
Yeah.
We definitely don't sit at that temperature.
No.
at no point of the day.
We'll plummet.
Except for maybe an hour.
Exactly. Yeah.
The sun's out, it's like 20 degrees hotter. Until it's not. Until
it's not. Right. Then the sun goes down at fucking noon and you're fucked.
Yeah.
It's all downhill from there.
Speaking of it all being downhill from here, Microsoft completed the Activision Blizzard deal, finally. So, they released the image, the graphic, the fucking trailer, all that shit. They did it again, and it makes less and less sense every single time they do it. Because it'll be like, Halo, Forza, Overwatch, Fallout. Yeah. Then they hit you with the Candy Crush. Tony
Hawk. I keep forgetting that Candy Crush is a part of Activision.
I mean, it's not. It's part of King, but it's Activision Blizzard King. And it, but most of the time when on a gaming-focused podcast, we're not focused on the King part of that because...
That's true.
Because they're mobile games?
Look, I don't know. That Candy Crush tournament be hidden. They be going hard.
It's a tournament.
And Candy Crush be making
bank. You can get achievements in Candy Crush now?
Probably.
That sounds like a... They're bringing Candy Crush coming soon to Xbox Series X.
Day one on Gamepad.
We're not going to be able to see a gaming ad for the next generation of games without hearing... Ging.
Yep.
Like, who's left? Ubisoft, EA, and then Disney's talking about buying one of them.
Right.
And it's like, Disney, why?
Do you feel if all these acquisitions just keep happening, it's all just going to implode and then we'll have like a renaissance of good games? Like renaissance of like new studios coming up?
Okay, so we got our best case scenario and worst case scenario. Our worst case scenario is that Microsoft uses Game Pass to undercut the entire gaming market to try and create a pseudo monopoly like fucking Amazon did when they were building their monopoly. That's the worst case scenario, which is most likely
more than likely going to happen because of money.
Right. And also like the fact that like, just the fact that you could get so many games off of subscription is more cost effective for the customer. It gives you a wider access to games for cheaper, which will lead them to pick that instead of, you know, actually buying the games and supporting the independence of these studios.
Right.
Slash weird publisher relations that studios have. And then the best case scenario is we do get that renaissance. We do get a flood of new studios. And at best, Game Pass is like a timed exclusive demo type beat shit, where it's like you get it on Game Pass for a while, then it encourages people to just go back and buy it.
Yeah.
Like, really, it's one of those. The best hope for that is the increasing return to physical media.
Right.
You know? So it's like people are like, no, I need to have my own copy of this shit, my own blob, my own gobbledygook. Like, going back to that is what's going to save media in general.
Right.
Yeah.
To an extent, people are kind of getting back into buying some physical media. Like, some things, yeah, like vinyls have really, like, picked up and have been kind of, like, taken off again.
Yeah, that's one of the
researches. It's interesting. Like, Blu-ray, you would think, but, like, even Best Buy, it's like, yeah, now we're just stopping DVD sales. Like, you can't really find Blu-rays like you used to.
Yeah, Blu-ray, so that's, like, the only...
I don't know if that's, like, just moving online or something.
Yeah, a lot of that is...
A lot of it's moving online. Like, a lot of retail stores are just getting curb stomped by online retail, like wholesale. Yeah. Like, it's cool to, like, go down to a place and, you know, comb through a catalog, but it's like three clicks you could have access to, like, three clicks you can get that same catalog delivered to your house.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you start where you know you want to start versus Target or Best Buy or whatever, where you just kind of start alphabetically, but I feel
that's cool for when you don't know what you want, or like it was like, oh yeah, I forgot about this, or it's like, let me try this, as opposed to like doing it online. Like you said, you're going to just get what you want. Like, oh, I know I want this one specific Blu-ray, I want this one specific DVD, and that's pretty much all there is to it. It's not like you're about to be let me click through, because you're more likely to just kind of get what you want and call it a day. But like when you're in person, it's like it's talking to you, you know, it has that almost allure to it.
Yeah, that ritual is what makes going to an audio drone so much fun.
Yeah.
But in the, I would say like in the realm of video games specifically, like the physical version doesn't provide as many benefits as like getting the physical version of anything else. Because it's literally just the same shit. It just comes with a disc attached to it. Maybe it's still...
Yeah, I agree. You don't like... It's not like you're getting a little booklet with it anymore. You don't get, like... Games used to have little things that came with, like, a map or a poster. Or even just that little, like...
The version is not running any better. It's not higher fidelity.
Yeah.
You're not saving space on your console.
It's more of an inconvenience because you have to have this disc in your system to play the game. Rather, you can just, if you downloaded it, you could just.
And also, another thing with it is, since the fact we're at the point where it's like a game can be altered post release, you know, when you take a disc out of the box and put it in your console for the first time, it's not like you can actually play the game. You still have to download something.
Yep, that's true.
Like, the discs aren't really even the games anymore. They're boot installs.
Yep.
And I mean, certain publishers will do the Game of the Year thing. They'll do the Definitive Edition thing. They'll do the...
The Game of the Year, huh?
Yeah, so where they actually put out another disc with the updates, the DLC, all of that on the disc. So you can... And I mean, so the most recent example I can think of that is the Horizon 2. For PS5, they're putting out a disc that has the base game, the Burning Shores DLC, and all the updates. So... That is something that somebody has a PS5 but no internet can go out, buy that disc, put that disc in their system. It'll still install to their console off the disc, but it'll have all the patches, because it's not like Horizon's going to get, like, more content from here. They're probably, like, honestly, everybody's working on the third game / one of their other 100 trillion games. Horizon things they have going on. So
yeah,
that helps with the preservation aspect of just, because I think there were certain games in like the PS3 era where it'd be like a Game of the Year edition. It'd just be the base game and all the DLC and stuff would come as a code. So you'd still need to go online to use that code. But there were some that all the content was just on the disc. But yeah,
that's glitch.
Going back to Activision, it's going to be interesting to see how these next couple years go as far as, because I'm surprised, well, I mean, it only really happened yesterday, so
yeah,
I'm surprised that not every Activision game except Diablo 4 and Modern Warfare 3, I'm surprised that not all of them are already there. Or that they aren't already there.
Game Pass?
Yeah.
That would be pretty lit.
Because, I mean, they did it with Bethesda, like...
Immediately?
Yeah, it was, like, less than 48 hours, I want to say.
Yeah.
So. Speaking of Game Pass, I gotta say, that bullshit new trend they're trying to start where it's like, hey, you know, you could just pay extra money to get this game a couple of days early. That's bullshit.
I mean,
it's what Game Pass is doing, but that's bullshit. I want to add that in. I want to make sure that's put in this podcast today that's bullshit. I don't
pay a little extra money just to
get the game about 3 days early.
Yeah, all it is upgrading it to the collector's edition. But you own that DLC, or the digital deluxe edition, or whatever it is,
and so, still bullshit.
I mean, is it though? Like, I mean, it's just it's harping on people's impatience, but it's not a necessary buy. Yeah, monetizing on people's impatience, and people are gonna.
That is bullshit.
If you don't have the self control to not pay extra money to play a game early. Because I mean, even post release, the longer you wait to play a game, the cheaper you'll be able to play that game. So if you want to play it pre-release and you want to pay $100 to do that, you can do that. If you want to play it on release and pay $70 to do that, you can do that. If you want to wait a month and pay $50.
Like, I have not seen a single one of these $70 games that actually look like they're worth $70. That's fucking horseshit.
Well, yeah, but that's why you wouldn't go out and you wouldn't pay like $100 to play a game early. You would wait for the review and actually get your own opinion on it on release. Whereas people are just, I mean, it's just taking advantage of the people who are impatient.
And it's bullshit.
Just out of the games that I think
that we're catering to the people that are impatient.
It's not catering, it's taking advantage of, and that's bullshit.
Let me see. Because I've deliberately spent $70 on games, and in my opinion, all the ones that I've bought for $70 have been worth it.
Look, they would have been worth it at $60. The whole reason why they're being bumped up to $70 is simply because there's no end to the profit motivations under capitalism, which is this economic system that game creation exists under.
I mean, just looking at this list, God of War Ragnarok got my money's worth. Why is it, this list is like two sections. So Tears of the Kingdom, I know, was $70.
That should not have been $70. Once again, regardless. Yeah, but I'm just saying the $10 price increase for games is bullshit. Like, I'm still going to say that $10 price increase is only out of profit motivation. Like, there's no actual reason to make it more expensive in the first place, other than to squeeze out more profit out of your audience.
You're saying that while the games industry is literally hemorrhaging people and laying
it's hemorrhaging people because of terrible, of bad, of profit seeking, poor mismanagement.
I mean,
wholesale. Like if the money was actually going to, you know, the devs, that'd be one thing, but it's not. You know, it's going to the company that's going to raise the price of the game and then fire swaths of people so their profit margins look better. Like, come on. Like,
yeah, I mean,
it is interesting to Jalen's point, because the PC versions of all these games are still 60. They haven't gone up. So if it is something to, like, be due to inflation, we have to raise the prices $10 more, why isn't it affecting the PC market at all?
It is affecting the PC market, though.
Okay. Every game I bought on PC is still $60.
Yeah. I have not seen, like,
I haven't bought a $70 game on
that wasn't a collector's edition on Steam.
All right, so
I mean, I'm sure you can find an example out there. I'm just talking about the mass majority of games that I bought on Steam that I could also buy on PlayStation are $10 cheaper. The original $60.
I mean, I can say that as the person who's probably bought the most $70 games, first of all, like, gaming is a luxury hobby.
Yeah.
Like, that $10 difference, like, we've already had the argument of adjusting for inflation. Sure, let's just say they're doing this out of sheer greed. And, like, fair enough, they're doing it out of sheer greed. The games that I've paid $70 for, God of War Ragnarok, Final Fantasy 16, and in the case of 16, I paid more than that because I got the Digital Deluxe. In the case of Spider-Man, which is 70, I paid 80 to get the Digital Deluxe because I want more suits, access to more suits in that game, because to me that game is, like, all of these games that I've purchased that are quote-unquote next-gen games, I've felt I've gotten an experience out of those that I wouldn't have gotten previously out of these same games. And I know that typically your style of game, like, you've made it abundantly clear you don't care about the AAA big budget first party, like,
Baldur's Gate is still $60.
You didn't give a shit. So you wouldn't give a shit if tomorrow The Last of Us Part 3 came out for $70, and I would. I would be there day one, minute one, playing that game, but you obviously would stay. You wouldn't be anywhere near that game. You didn't even play Part 2. So, for me, the games,
I don't think that's a suitable thing, because once again, it goes back to the whole entire reason why this is bad, is because it's only $10 more out of profit seeking. Just like how Naughty Dog, a development studio that's known for story-driven single-player games, have spent, what, the last 3-5 years on a multiplayer online live service game that Bungie straight up said was bad to the point that they had to lay off staff for that?
They said it wasn't game, like, Bungie's analysis was it didn't have a structure for people to infinitely pay money into it, because Naughty Dog put out a multiplayer with Uncharted 2.
I said live service. I distinctly added live service because I know they had a multiplayer component. And that's one thing, to have a multiplayer component added to your game. And, like,
they had cosmetic DLC out the ass for the multiplayer. Like, there were hundreds of dollars that you could spend on cosmetic stuff.
That's not what having cosmetics and having stuff to buy isn't what makes a live service game a live service game, though. That's the thing about it.
Is it just that it has a battle pass?
It's not.
What is it that makes it? Because, like, if
a live service is a live service, what I define as a live service game is a game that is designed to be continuously updated with paid content, basically. So it's like The Last of Us.
Well, so then,
like, for example, Fortnite has a 10-week development cycle where they have something new and the game's developed on effectively every 10 weeks.
Okay, but you just said with paid content for getting additional content for money. Fortnite, you could play every season without purchasing a single battle pass with
because the base game is free. Because that's the thing about it is, like, most live service games makes the extra money off of cosmetics because you're invested into the base game.
Right. So when the Uncharted 4 multiplayer came out as a free to play standalone, like, package and had a bunch of cosmetic DLC and was getting new maps, but
that would have been a live service game.
Okay, so Naughty Dog has done a live service game before.
Yeah. I'm not saying they couldn't. I just don't think a lot of the modern live service games that come out are good. And with the fact that, like, it's still not out yet, and the fact that they had to pause it indefinitely is not a good sign.
Yeah, I mean, I've completely lost faith in that ever coming out.
Which would make that project a failure. If it's never coming out, that project is a failure.
Did y'all see Hyenas got canceled? Like,
see? Beta? You see? Like, and I think that's also part of the problem. And that's also why I think a lot of studios are taking the single player games and raising the price on them so they can try and cover the profits that they're not getting because all their live service games either don't come out or they're shit.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. As far, just going back to where this started, as far as, like, people paying for early access to games, like,
peel back the layers.
Peel back the layers. It's bullshit. I will always debate. I will always say that it's bullshit. Yeah,
it's very obviously not for you because
no, not even for me. It's like literally the entire concept of it is bullshit. Like, there's no real redeeming quality to it. It's like, it's bullshit. It's bad. It's like,
I mean, it's
not
so anywhere. I actually understand. You're saying if someone could pay $100 to get this game 3 days earlier, just make the release date 3 days earlier and only charge the price you were supposed
to. Because clearly the game's done.
Yeah.
I mean, but games go gold. Like, Spider-Man has been platinumed by people already. Like, review codes have been out for that game for
That's different because that's the interactions between, like, games and games media. Like, if you're going to have a review out for the game, that's why some of those reviews that we meme on are so bad because those reviewers don't get enough time to adequately put learning the game's
mechanics. They get a couple days. If the game gets an actual rollout, they'll give them, like, weeks to sit back, play the game, and really review it. Like, when they know they're sitting on some good shit, or if they want a fair and accurate review, here's the game. It's done. Review it. Release the reviews. You know, give us that good promotion leading up into the game. Like, we got this.
Yeah, it's like, so then the reviewers aren't, you know, motivated to, like, lowest common denominator that game and just beat the game by pressing square X and say the game's a button masher because they didn't learn the combat system.
Oh, this I played on baby ass baby mode. I needed a challenge though. Wait, make sense.
Yeah,
right. So, like, that's not even the same thing. Like, if you're willing to sell the game at a release date 3 days earlier, then the game should just be released 3 days earlier. You're just, once again, the only reason this is being done is the very same profit seeking that is encouraging these terrible mergers where Bobby Kotick gets to keep his fucking job.
Okay, yeah. So as far as paying for early access, if it's a part of the, like, the collector's edition, the digital deluxe edition, I mean, as long as there's already significant shit in there,
Because
it's fine.
We did that.
Like, if there's significant shit in there that you're paying for anyway, like, you were going to get the digital deluxe with or without the 3-day early access, right?
And it was bullshit when Endwalker did it.
And
that's also one of the reasons why the servers were shit all week.
They got more shit when servers came out.
The servers are just shit when the new expansion drops.
Right.
The 3-day release was not it.
That might have fucking helped, actually. Because in those 3 days, somebody could crack out on it and be like, all right, I'm good.
Yeah, I think if you're paying extra money just to get a game 3 days earlier, and that's the sole thing you get.
If that is the sole reason, then that is bullshit. Bundle is not significant without the the early access, bullshit. But, you know, if it's just kind of like, if it's a nice bundle, it's already a hobby, right? It's already a luxury. Fuck it. Why not? Just make it make sense. That's what I'm asking for. Make it make sense for
because,
me.
Because, like, a lot of these games, that none of us paid extra to play Starfield early. Like,
I wouldn't even pay for Starfield.
I'm going to capitalize off the fact that that game's probably not selling as well as they expected it to sell, and so it's going to go on sale.
I will say, it's only going to not sell the way as much as it didn't. That's really more of the fact that Microsoft made it a Microsoft exclusive, because let's be real, there's a Skyrim fans who own PlayStations. Like, wholesale, their Bethesda stands on PlayStation. It would have sold. Like, Starfield would have sold.
No, I think even if Starfield came to PS5, Starfield wouldn't have sold Skyrim numbers at any point like that.
Wait. Which release of Skyrim number?
Oh, even OG.
Yeah.
The one that prompted, like, the PS3, PC, Xbox 360, 11/11/11, like, original drop of that game. It had to sell enough. Like,
Starfield would have sold decent enough on PlayStation.
I don't think it would have sold like Skyrim sold on PS3. Even with a bigger install base. Well, I think PS3...
These are different concepts in different generations, so it's not really fair to compare them.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, I think it would have sold well enough, and I would have slandered it still.
It's a Bethesda game. You should slander it. Like... As someone who's enjoying Starfield, slander it. Like.
Well, there's one Bethesda game that doesn't need to be.
There isn't a Bethesda game that doesn't deserve to be slandered. Bethesda as a company and Todd Howard should be slandered. Wholesale. I've been slandering them since Oblivion.
Chris, what's the Bethesda game that you're here to defend?
I'm here today, defend the game that I just beat yesterday, Hi-Fi Rush by Tango. That game is a motherfucking banger.
That falls under Bethesda.
It does fall under Bethesda. Bethesda shows up once you turn that game on. Yeah, it's the publisher.
It's Bethesda published.
Tango is the one who made it.
Yeah, but
it's the dev.
Tango is owned by Bethesda, which is why.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I'm defending Hi-Fi Rush. That's the game. I played about a couple hours of Starfield, realized it was a Bethesda RPG, and I have never liked any RPGs except for really Persona and Pokemon. And I was like, okay, it's not for me. So it's good. I did the space battles. I did the shooting people with guns, and I was like, that's cool. And then I was done. Once it became an RPG, I was like, I'm not going to, it's not for me. So I can't even slander it or hype it up because I don't care. Hi-Fi Rush, on the other hand, is a motherfucking beat 'em up, goddamn beat game, rhythm game that fucking slaps you in the face with good-ass rock music and is funny, great characters. You make friends. You have a good time. You laugh. You cry.
And you fight capitalism.
And you fucking capitalism. God, I love that game.
Fuck.
Dude, that final boss, realized. Well, no, he doesn't. He's a funny guy.
Sex is.
He is the epitome of Fry from Futurama.
Wait, but Fry had game. That's the thing about it, is Fry had game.
Fry had Riz, and he also had no Riz, so...
At the same time.
He's just like me, for real.
Look,
no, yeah. no, I realized I picked it up. I was like, I just need to go ahead and beat Hi-Fi. I picked it back up last night. I was like, okay, we'll get a good session in. And realized I was on the final boss and forgot everything. Mm. I got my ass handed to me. But, you know, once you get back into rhythm, you feel like you got control of the fight. I was like, I was getting in there, putting jabs in, parrying, doing my thing. Music was bumping. I had the headphones on full blast. I forgot what artist it was, but it was killing it. And just, yeah, that was a good final fight. I felt successful beating that final boss.
That shit slapped, right?
It slapped. That was a good ass.
Do you think it's going to fuck around and get some love this year at Game Awards? Or do you think it's like in
the... It better at least sound design?
Where it's just going to kind of get like forgotten.
Yeah, that sucks because it did come out in like January or February. Yeah, I think it's going to be forgotten. Honestly. It sucks. It's a short, sweet story. Not that long of a game. I think it was... I beat it in 13 hours. Like just... And I was dicking around. It's got a really good sound design. Obviously, it's a rhythm fight. It's a rhythm beat 'em up, so it has to.
It's a third person character.
It's got really good characters in it. Like every character is distinct. They're all memorable. Some of this shit is corny, but like, is what makes it lovable. It's just a really lovable game.
Yeah, that's what I did wish was like. That's not on. Yeah, that's what I did wish was like. Would come over to PlayStation.
Yeah.
No, I'm willing.
Oh, I'd platinum the fuck out of that game. If it came to PlayStation, yeah, for sure.
I'm cool hopping on Steam and doing that on Steam Deck.
It's a good Steam
Deck. I do plan on getting that on Steam Deck. I need to go back and finish that.
It's solid. That is one of the ones where I started it on Game Pass and was like, I like this game too much to not actually pay for it, and got it on Steam and was just playing it back and forth either on Steam Deck or with headphones to have a better musical experience on PC.
Did anybody scoop up Bomb Rush Cyberpunk?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Neat. I've been watching like gameplay on YouTube. That shit, the music on that shit.
Apparently, it's how you remember. Sea of Stars is so fucking good. Like that is the indie game of the year for me. Like Sea of Stars is fucking spectacular. I cannot talk up that game enough. Play fucking Sea of Stars. Like, I got the true ending in like 28 hours. In, out.
Would you have paid $10 for 3-day early access to that game?
God damn.
Fuck no. Absolutely the fucking not. Now, I would pay $10 if they had an animated mini episode to go along with the deluxe. If there was a deluxe edition and it came with another animated mini episode in that bitch, abso-fucking-lutely. But I would not.
So here's how it would have actually
opened the bear. Out.
The game would have come with a digital soundtrack, so you just get the MP3s of the soundtrack. It would come with a digital art book, so you just get a PDF of the art in the game at super high res, and then 3 days early access and the game as it stands. Would you have done that?
Well, Sea of Stars is only $35. First things first, Sea of Stars is only $35. The digital art book is $5, and the soundtrack is the complete OST is another $10. So at the end of the day, that's still only $50.
Would you have done it?
I mean, for $50, I plan on doing it for $50. Yeah, but I'm not buying it early. I'm buying it for other stuff after I fucking 100% of this fucking game. And once again, it's only $50 with everything. $50 is different from $70.
And it would have
we're talking about indie games here, so indie games are never going to be as high as
right. But also, really, my thing about the whole like digital deluxe things is that like 3 days early is not a sell for a digital deluxe edition, and adding that in there is kind of like adding padding. That's like getting an extra. That's like adding. you know, like bread, extra bread and vegetables to your, when you get the deluxe size of your dish. You know what I'm saying? You're not deluxing any of the stuff we're actually here to eat. You're adding like cost effective padding to make it that bigger portion.
Pay more for less.
Yeah.
When it comes to deluxe editions, like, pay more for less. So
yeah.
They want to give me early access, then shit. Fuck it. But I'm not going to get it for the sheer fact that I want early access. Most of the time. Right.
And also, personally,
I think it depends on the game. Like, if Persona, anything, is offering me early access, yeah.
I'm not going to pretend I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pretend that wouldn't be the hit.
I get Persona 3 Reloaded 3 days early.
Yeah, fuck yeah. I wouldn't even care what else is in the bundle.
I am so pissed off.
That's a bonus.
I'm so pissed off that the physical deluxe edition done by, what is that company, Final Boss or some shit?
Yeah.
The Invoker doesn't come out the box. I am so pissed at the fuck. I was very tempted
to get that.
The Invoker does not come out the box. I cannot shoot myself in the head with that.
But they don't have a PS5 version. It's PS4, Xbox, and Switch. There's no PS5 version.
I mean, I don't have a way to play physical PS5 or 4
games
right now. True. So I'd be buying it for all the other shit that comes with it.
That's true. I got
that disc. I'm so mad that the... Oh, apparently...
You can break the box and get the Invoker. How determined are you?
Well, you know, I would think so, right?
It's actually just a hologram in there. That's why they don't want you trying to take it out the box.
Yeah. Oh, Persona 3 Reload is Steam Deck certified. Ah, that fucks.
So
there's no PS5 version for Persona
3 Reload? Yeah, but I want that.
Probably not. It'll probably be like Persona 4 Golden and Persona, like... The only one that they did...
But they put out a PS5 version?
No, I think there's a PS5 version.
Of...
Yeah.
Oh. It's just not...
Better be it. I'm like...
They just don't get a...
We don't move generations now. Come on now.
Damn.
But even Persona, they're pretty egregious with their...
Shit, Persona 5 came out on PS3.
Oh, no, Atlas is egregious, with especially with the DLC to be added to their game.
It's the piece that was promised, you know?
Yeah.
Also, honestly, adding those DLC personas will fuck up your fusion pool, so just a heads up, if you care about fusing, it'll fuck up your fusion.
Oh, does it?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, because like
what some do of the you mean you would get,
some of the choices that you would get for fusions... I feel like they get replaced by the DLC personas.
Oh, okay.
And also, because the game knows that the DLC personas are kind of stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's like, here, just fuse for these. I'm just like, no, I'm trying to make something, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to see some other options.
All right, so Jalen, are you gonna be there day one for Persona 3 Reload, a $70 game?
Is that on PC a $7 game?
Is it? Yeah. Is it $70 on Persona?
Let's see.
Hold on.
Persona 3 Reload is set to release for PlayStation 5, Windows, Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S.
I'm gonna play it off of Game Pass until it hits sale, and then I'll buy it on Steam Deck. That's what I'm gonna do.
Oh, I forgot it's coming to Game Pass.
Yeah, I'm going to play it off of Game Pass first and then wait till it's on sale. Because as much as this is my favorite Persona game, fuck that. Wholesale.
That's crazy.
It is.
That's a remake, too.
Yeah, but I will say I'm personally a bit more charitable to remakes versus remasters. Like, you know, you did... literally remake the game from the ground up and not give it a facelift, but on the same notion, that $70 is still bullshit. I will always say that $70 is bullshit.
Uh, All right.
The question.
I just want my robot girlfriend back. You know, come on. I guess it's baby girl.
All right. Shout out Robbie for the 51 month of tier one subs. I wanted us to get out of the weeds to shout that out on the actual recording.
Thank you.
And so we're less than a week away from Spider-Man 2 being out, and the preload has hit. The reviews are going to hit Monday. I'm super stoked. I just wanted to shout out that the preload's live, so if anybody pre-ordered Spider-Man 2, you can have it on your system. It's like 80-something gigs, so you might need to make room for it. But
that's fun.
I mean, I feel like the game justifies, you know, the install size.
Yeah.
I haven't played it yet, but, you know, based off Spider-Man Remastered, Miles Morales, the fact that you're going to have both these Spider-Mans. And
we'll say, if I was in a slightly altered timeline, I'd be with you. Like, honestly, if they didn't announce that there was going to have a mid-gen refresh so soon, I was like, I'd probably be looking at a PlayStation a lot sooner.
Well, it looks like December is going to be when they actually start rolling out the PS5 Slim. So that's not necessarily what I'd consider a mid-gen refresh.
How long has the PS5 been out?
3 years?
Yeah, almost 3 years. December will be over 3 years.
What the fuck is time? I thought it was longer than that. What the fuck?
It came out in
with COVID.
November 2020.
You know what? I swear that pandemic compressed and distorted time. It's not real anymore. It never was.
Oh, absolutely.
100%. Absolutely. I was scrolling through like pictures and videos the past couple days, and I'm just like, wait. I feel like this shit just happened, and it was like a year, 2 years ago. I'm like, bro, what the fuck? Time's not real, y'all.
No.
But, yeah, and I mean, the only difference, so for anybody who doesn't know, the PS5 is getting a slim revision. It's going to have the physical and the digital edition again. The physical is going to be $500. The digital is going to be $450. And obviously not come with the disc drive. But this time around, the disc drive is detachable either way. So that bottom right quadrant. So they divided the PS4 into quadrants by doing a line down the side.
Wait, so you can remove the disc drive on the physical on the physical edition?
Yes.
As well?
Yes. It's just that like module.
That may make less sense though. if that one's also detachable, yes. Because the digital version is only like $50 cheaper.
Yeah.
But getting the detachable disc drive is an extra $70.
Right. So they what
to have the option to add it as opposed to have the option to subtract it. And then it's an extra fucking $30 to get a vertical stand. I find that suspicious.
Talk your shit.
Because I think I spent like $30 on a vertical stand for my Xbox One S, and I definitely care a lot less about Xbox than I do PlayStation. I think I got one for my PS3 Slim at some point in time. But I probably got a third-party one. And honestly, like, might just get a third-party one, you know? One of those ones also with the fan.
Okay, also, I would like to say that I do consider the PS5's inability to stand on its vertical on its own a design flaw. I will state that.
I'm pretty sure it can.
You just don't recommend it. Especially if you got kids and or dogs.
I mean,
and or probability's not on your side, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And your house shakes when trains go by, you know? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, just the force of...
Or if you get thick thighs, you know?
Never know what's
going ass on. So fat, the clap of my ass cheeks knocks down my beard.
Without the vertical stand attachment. Now, also, I would like to say the slim PS5 physical edition definitely looks like it has ass shots. Like, it went.
Ass shots, no thighs.
It don't match. You got the BBLs. Like, this shit is crazy.
The digital original design splurge for the PS5? Matching
thighs. That's a shame.
And the slim like the digital edition just looks like it got like a set of ribs removed to be like to have a snatched waist, you know what I'm saying? The PS5 slim has a slutty waist.
That kicks in. I think like just seeing what the like stand it comes with for putting it. First of all, why didn't they make any side of this thing flat? Still,
like, come the fuck on, because it turns back into a PS4. They're like, they had that version, but they're like, damn. And they're just looking at it like, man, we really peaked with this one, huh? I'm like, yeah.
Right? No, let's be real. They peaked with the PS2. If we're talking about design, they peaked with the PS2,
which had a $30 kickstand.
Sony has never been off this bullshit.
But look how perfectly flat it is on like on two sides, on several sides actually, to where it could stand kind of however.
Yeah, I think that
change it. Bam.
That design is peak. That design is peak.
It was great.
Switched it to erect mode.
Like when it comes to the way the consoles look. The best looking Nintendo console. Nintendo has a couple of bangers. Like when it comes to looks, even without the like the clear case, they had a couple of bangers. You know, like the DS designed perfectly. That's why they didn't. They barely touched it.
Right. Honestly,
the DS Lite.
You don't talk about handhelds.
Micro.
Game Boy Advanced was the peak of all Game Boys. Game Boy Advance was the best handheld.
I'm partial to the SP.
It was too blocky. Game Boy Advance like fit in your palms. You could play that shit for hours.
But you could flip it.
I know. I get it. In the age of
you can use it like a little laptop too. Like you feel like you're a little gremlin mode. You're just up here on your little Game Boy laptop.
Yeah. I get in the age of razors, that was the coolest fucking thing. But I'm just saying, now as an adult,
you didn't need all the goofy attachments to it. It was perfected. Hence why they kept the clamshell form going forward. They said, "Oh man,
shout out to the DS Micro. That bitch was small, but that design was
Micro was really cool too.
Yeah,
look at that. It is perfectly square.
It's cool."
And then, of course, you know, we got the GameCube. Beautiful design. The fucking cube.
It's a cube. Cubed. Dimitri.
The Wii stands out perfectly. It sits beautifully on a shelf. Microsoft is the 360. Like, it's the 360.
360 Slim was the best. Ew. Even though I do like the Series X. I really like the design of the Series X.
I like the fridge. I will say I do like the design of the fridge.
It's cool
with the fridge. You know,
I might actually give me a mini fridge with
it because it got a pet name. You know, the GameCube's a lunchbox.
True.
You know,
oh, because it's got the little handle.
Got a cube. Got the freaking refrigerator. You know.
You know the nunchuck. Like...
Now we're going into controllers.
Man. You know?
We have several controller episodes.
Right. Yeah. Right. We have several controllers.
A lot of those went really bad.
It's the cheesy controller.
Okay.
They always take a turn, don't they?
Oh, there was thing we didn't bring up with the Microsoft thing. That Bobby Kotick gets his golden parachute confirmed. He... is leaving Activision Blizzard January 1st, 2024.
Nothing happens to him.
Is he going to hell?
No accountability for the bullshit?
Nope.
Nope.
Not a smidge. He gets paid for it.
Oh, yeah. Fucking.
Every sounds time about I right. could have done one thing to actually make this bullshit fucking merger a little palatable, they instead piss in my mouth.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus Christ.
I didn't expect that one. It's disgusting, it's yellow, and it smells awful.
I imagine they don't drink water, so...
No, only Mountain Dew. Only Mountain Dew Code Red.
That Code Red got some strength
I to just, it. Like... I don't even remember what that yellow. Shit tastes
it's
actually like.
It's fucking red. It's just red dye number 40. That shit that got banned in Europe. That's all it
fucking red, red dye 40 mixed with liquid. Not saying which one.
Just a
we're not sure.
Just piss. Singular liquid.
Sure. Something that was wet.
The aforementioned piss. So they're just repurposing it. It's like a vicious yeah. cycle. Like it's you like, drink oh. Code Red, you piss the fucked up piss, and then they add red dye 40 to the fucked up piss.
And sell it so back. It gets more potent with each batch. Wow.
Oh,
that
shit.
That sounds pretty American. That sounds fairly American.
God, that is the perfect capitalism cycle. They're paying, forcing you to pay for your own piss.
Oh, let's not give them any ideas.
Y'all. Your own fucked up piss. What are you talking about? That's the somewhere they're already industry. Doing that.
The bottled water industry, I'm certain.
Yeah, honestly.
We're not going to get into water filtration and the dark side of that.
I mean...
It's the dark side of water filtration. Oh, you think this water's going to you because you live close to it? No.
No, this water has going to go by Nestle. Shout out to the Memphis Nestle workers, the black Nestle workers in Memphis who are still striking. They've been striking for months.
Good.
Shout out to my workers. Fuck shout out Nestle. To the workers.
Shout out to the workers.
Class solidarity is real solidarity.
Hmm?
All right. Well, does anybody have a one more thing?
No.
I think
not an episode.
Well, there was the image of Master Chief and Crash Bandicoot shaking hands on the internet earlier. And Chris, like, when I first saw your shirt, I was like, we're on brand. Like,
I didn't even think about that.
I'm just imagining the fucking...
Just make another Crash game.
Capcom handshake. The Ryu Cyclops.
They could make another Crash game. That'd be fun.
Yeah, they could. Please. They could make a lot.
Take him out of the gulag.
No, that gulag is not. It's getting doubled down.
Bring Toys for Bob back.
Nah, I'm sorry. They have been fully integrated into the Call of Duty gulag. They are so deep in the gulag.
A man can dream.
I did play the beta.
They've been dissolved.
Also, Free Raven.
The Modern Warfare 3.
Beta. Actually, I have that beta. I need to sit down and play it.
Yeah, because I think it goes away Monday, but I played, like, a decent chunk of it. I got to, like, level 15 out of 30. But, you know, it's decent. I'm not going to buy that game. But
which game?
Modern Warfare 3.
Oh. Damn.
Even though it's all the Modern Warfare 2 maps, and it was really great just playing on Rust... And being able
you're making it sound like super appetizing, but then like, but don't buy that game. I mean, it's great and it's got nostalgia just up the ass, but don't buy that game.
I mean, that's pretty much all of Activision Blizzard stuff of like, hey.
Yeah.
They're kind of doing the thing, but at the same time, they're criminals and you probably shouldn't give them money.
Yeah.
And the Microsoft, like, Microsoft doesn't officially own them till January 1st, 2020. Like, they technically own them now, but, like, a lot of the major changes are going to kick into effect January 1st, 2024. So even until then, like, Diablo 4 came out on Steam, but I'm not going to give them money because there were criminals that are going to be directly benefiting from me buying that game, even though I enjoy Diablo.
Fuck Blizzard.
Fuck Blizzard.
I wouldn't even play that shit on Game Pass.
Until next time, you can follow us all collectively around the internet, cheesycontrollerpodcast.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Anton63X's. Chris, where can people find you?
I say this every episode. Go to cheesycontrollerpodcast.com. Hit the Discord button. Come and join us. We have a great time.
Madrid.
X_Spain on Instagram.
Jalen.
I'm in the Discord, but also Squid Bishop pretty much everywhere.
All right, this has been the Know It's Good production. The video version is edited by Long Twisted Mind. The audio version is edited by Akuma Santi. Until next time, keep it cheesy.